topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guests, and not those of W4CS Radio, its employees, or affiliates. W4CS makes no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for listening to the Cancer Support Network on W4CS.com. Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Live. I'm Dr. Lisa Schuler, the host of tonight's show. Carolyn Gazella and I co-host the show. We have also co-authored two books, The Definitive Guide to Cancer and our most recent book, Five to Thrive, Your Cutting-Edge Cancer Prevention Plan. And, of course, that is how this show got its name. This show is about empowering you with knowledge and inspiration to lead healthier lives in the face of cancer, beyond cancer, just for the sake of leading a healthy life. And we could not do this without the support of our sponsors, Empower, Ave Ultra, Natural Factors, Cetriaglutathione, Cognizant Citicoline, and Tomorrow's Nutrition. And we really do appreciate our sponsors so very much. And if you'd like to listen to us on iTunes, we're now streaming on iTunes. You can just go to the radio section and go to W4CS.com, and there we will be. You can also catch past shows archived on our website, W4TSR.com. Just go to that website, look for Five to Thrive, and you'll find our shows organized by date, by guest, and by topic. And we have a very good and important show lined up for you tonight with a very expert guest, and I'm going to introduce her and the topic in a moment. Before I do, I want to remind you of a couple of things, and then I want to actually do a special dedication of tonight's show. So the reminders are that if you go to our website, 5tothriveplan.com, and sign up for our Thrive Thoughts, it's a free thing to do, and what that will do is we'll give you a weekly schedule of our radio shows, and we'll also automatically enter you to win a free book that we're giving away. We're giving away a free book every week from our guests, written by our guests. We're giving away our own books, and we also on that website, on the book page, are offering, in the spirit of the holidays, a buy one, get one free on Five to Thrive. So if you'd like to order two, you only have to pay for one. So feel free to go to the website. And if you don't already, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Please do. We're on both sites at Five to Thrive. So that's our announcements. And I do want to dedicate this show tonight. You know, this show is really about inspiring people to find a way to live exuberantly in the face of cancer. And I have a dear patient who I've been working with for a number of years. Her name is Elizabeth, and I was just told by her husband today that she is in her last hours of life on this planet. So I want to dedicate this show to Elizabeth. She embodies in many, many ways the spirit of Five to Thrive. She was a weaver, or is a weaver, and she weaves these beautiful shawls. And I think metaphorically, she also weaved a life that was colorful, that was vibrant, that was beautiful, and had so much texture to it. And I really think of her in many ways, but not the least of which is as an inspiration to what we fundamentally care about, which is living as fully and as awake as we possibly can. So, Elizabeth, my love to you and to your husband. Okay, so now to tonight's show. Tonight we have a guest with us who is a colleague of mine. and an expert in her own right. She's a naturopathic doctor. Her name is Dr. Laura James. And Dr. James is a graduate of Tufts University and then of Bastyr University's naturopathic medical program. She's focused on women's health and women's cancers in her career as a naturopathic doctor and practices in the greater Seattle area at her clinic in Bellevue, Washington. And she counsels patients on incorporating nutrition, botanical medicine, nutritional supplements, lifestyle modifications, all to attain an optimum mind-body balance. And she has been really focusing in many ways on women with cancer for a number of years and is one of the experts in the Northwest. And we are just absolutely delighted to have her on the show. She's a fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology in addition to her naturopathic degree. So Dr. James, welcome to Five to Thrive.
Thanks very much, Lisa. I appreciate being here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted to have you, and I'm delighted for you to tell us about a topic that we've actually not spoken about on the show. We talked a bit about stress. I would say actually quite a lot about stress in various ways, but we have not spoken specifically about biofeedback as a therapy or as a way to manage stress. And I know that you have expertise in that, and you're going to help us understand what that is and how that works. But before we kind of get into all that, can you just introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners and tell us a little bit about how you became interested in naturopathic medicine and specifically then in women's health and kind of what makes you happy to wake up and walk into your practice every day?
Sure. So I appreciate the lovely introduction that you gave me, and yes, I have really made women's cancers in particular a primary focus of my practice. I got interested in naturopathic medicine after having been a medical writer in the conventional world for about 8 years, and I worked at a major cancer hospital on the East Coast writing grant proposals for medical research. And as an English major, that was a great job after college, great way to use my communication skills. And what I found was that I really loved the science that I was writing about. I was writing about X-ray crystallography and medical research for HIV and things like that, and I was really excited when I got to talk to scientists. And ultimately, I decided that I wanted to turn my career towards being a scientist, towards being in medicine, and decided to pursue a degree in naturopathic medicine because it was very science-based, particularly at Bastyr, and philosophically it made sense to me, treating the whole person using what I call in my practice here the four cornerstones of good health, sleep, stress management, diet, and exercise. And, you know, that's really the fundament of what we learn as naturopathic physicians. And so that's, you know, my love of science is what got me started. And as I've been working with more and more women with cancer, what really makes me excited about working with them is that there's so much that we can do naturopathically to support a woman through the whole process from cancer diagnosis through active treatment and then beyond. And so I get excited every day because I get to work with this really terrific population of people who are very motivated, very interested in integrating natural medicine into their conventional program, and who really want to be as healthy as they can be. And so that's what really excites me. I did work for a large cancer hospital early in my career. I've kind of come back to cancer because it is such an interesting area, and it's such a great population of people to work with.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, you said something which I, too, have found so interesting, that people diagnosed with cancer are a unique group of patients in that their motivation to achieve health and to change their lifestyle, to do what it takes, basically, to bring more health into their lives is really unsurpassed if you had to categorize patients by disease. So it can be very gratifying as a physician to work with people that are that motivated. So I'm glad you've seen that and experienced that too. Okay, so we already are up to our first break. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive right into the topic of stress and biofeedback.
Great.
We'll be right back.
Green tea is good for us. It's a key part of the 5 to Thrive plan. What if you don't care for the taste of green tea? And with so many green tea supplements, how do you choose? No one wants to waste their money on a poor quality product, and I know I want organic to avoid the harmful toxins. That's why you should choose Sunfinin. Sunfinin from Tomorrow's Nutrition gives you the highest quality green tea possible, and they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have confidence in the quality of all their products. As a special offer to 5 to Thrive listeners, Tomorrow's Nutrition will give you 20% off your order. Go to tomorrowsnutrition.com and type in the code 5 to Thrive when you check out, and you'll automatically receive 20% off your order. Get quality. Get results. Get Sunfinin Green Tea from Tomorrow's Nutrition. That's tomorrowsnutrition.com. And don't forget to type in the code 5 to Thrive to get 20% off your order.
Are you interested in boosting your brain power? So am I. This is Carolyn Gazella, co-host of 5 to Thrive Live, and I'm here to tell you about a supplement that I take. The human brain needs a lot of nutrition to stay focused throughout the day. Citicoline naturally enhances energy-producing centers within the brain. Cognizin delivers a clinically tested, patented form of citicoline that supplies your brain with the energy it needs to stay sharp. Look for Cognizin on the label, or for more information, visit Cognizin.com. That's Cognizin.com.
Exclusively from Natural Factors.
I'm Dr. Michael Murray. I'm very excited to have the opportunity to talk with you about PGX, a truly revolutionary natural product that works perfectly to help get at the core issues that make weight loss so difficult. PGX is a clinically proven way to help people to achieve their ideal body weight that is safe and natural. PGX leads to a dramatic reduction in the glycemic index of any food or meal. It also ultimately causes the release of compounds that achieve two important goals in weight loss. One, telling your brain that you're satisfied so you eat less, and two, improving the action of the hormone insulin. If you've ever tried to lose weight and failed, it's not your fault. You just need the tremendous support that PGX can provide. For more information on making your weight loss dream a near effortless reality, please go to PGX.com.
Take charge of your health. Take Ave Ultra. Give your body the nutritional support it needs. Ave Ultra contains the superfood fermented wheat germ extract that helps enhance your body's natural defenses, maintain a healthy appetite, and give you the energy you need to cope with fatigue and weakness. Dr. Lee Salschuler recommends Ave Ultra because it's backed by very impressive scientific research. Learn more and save 25% at theharmonycompany.com/thrive.
Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. If you just joined us, my name is Dr. Lee Salschuler, tonight's host of the program. Normally, Carolyn hosts Thursdays, but we switched this week. So she did my Tuesday, and I'm doing her Thursday. And tonight, lucky me, I'm joined by our guest, Dr. Laura James, who is a naturopathic doctor and naturopathic oncologist, and she's talking to us about stress and biofeedback. And by the way, if you have questions, feel free to ask them. The easiest way to do it is to ask through our general chat room. You don't have to sign in. Just open up the general chat box, which is collapsed on the bottom right of your screen, and type in your question, and I'll look for that. You can also call us if you would like at 561-623-9427. Okay, Dr. James, let's dive in. So tell us what your definition of stress is, and you know, I'm going to just interject for a moment and just say that I think we're going to be talking for the most part about psychological stress as opposed to, say, oxidative stress or some physiological stress. So tell us what you define as stress.
Well, generally what Yeah, generally what I define as stress is really any kind of force on the body or mind that causes some kind of change. The body is always seeking to be in homeostasis. It's always seeking to be in balance. And so technically, stress is really anything that tries to throw the body off balance. We tend to think of stress as being mental and emotional stress due to circumstances in our lives, relationships, too long of a to-do list, that kind of thing. So that's generally what we think of as stress. But there can also be chronic diseases that can cause stress on the body, and that's still a stressor, even though we might not necessarily recognize it as such.
Mm-hmm. So stress can come in lots of guises, and all of those various stressors tend to impact the body, throwing it off its balance to some extent. And when that happens, can you describe what happens physiologically? And I know that's a huge question, so
right.
just describe a bit of it. Maybe talk about it from the nervous system perspective, since I think we're going to address that again.
Sure,
when we talk
yeah.
about that.
Right. I mean, what happens is, there are different forms of stress, as maybe your listeners know. There's good stress and there's bad stress, to use kind of simple terms. Either way, those stressors can sort of amp up the body. And usually when I talk about stress, particularly in light of biofeedback, I'm thinking about our autonomic nervous system. So the autonomic nervous system is that part of our nervous system, which has multiple parts, that is divided into the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. Your sympathetic nervous system is your fight or flight part of your nervous system. That's the run from the bear nervous system. Your parasympathetic nervous system is your rest and digest part. That's the relaxation part. I think as Americans, we tend to do the sympathetic nervous system very well. We drink too much coffee. We drive too fast. We work too hard. We take on too much. We are often in a sympathetic mode a lot of the time. We have to really learn how to develop the parasympathetic part of our nervous system to balance out all that sympathetic impact. So when we're in a constant state of fight or flight, we can have a hormone imbalance. Our cortisol can get elevated. Our adrenaline can get elevated. Over time, if cortisol is elevated, we can have other hormonal impacts in the body. We can develop more chronic illnesses as stress goes on over time. Simply what happens when your sympathetic nervous system is activated, those things that need to occur for you to run from the bear will happen. Your pupils will dilate, your palms will sweat, the blood will rush to all your vital organs. When you're in a parasympathetic state, it's kind of the reverse. Things really calm down. Stress is often a problem physiologically for someone who has high blood pressure, and that's probably the clearest place where something like biofeedback can be helpful. With high blood pressure, your blood pressure can be affected by an emotional stressor, and that's that sympathetic nervous system kicking in. It's going to drive up your heart rate. It's going to drive up your blood pressure, and over time, that's going to be very detrimental to your heart because your heart's a muscle, right? So in terms of what are the physiological effects, there are a ton of physiological effects. But what we're looking at simply with biofeedback in particular is this division between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system and developing what I call parasympathetic tone. I think that it's something we really actively have to develop to counteract all of that sympathetic action.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question, so that I'm understanding this and our listeners
Sure.
are understanding this. So if one were to be in a stressful life, for whatever reason, they may not have sweaty palms all the time, and they may not
Right.
go around with dilated
Right.
pupils all the time, but they
Right.
still may be in imbalance. So are there other symptoms or ways in which somebody would know that there's this imbalance in their body?
Well, sure, and it's certainly going to manifest differently for, you know, all different people. It could be elevated blood pressure. It could be, you know, a periodic racing heart rate. It could be insomnia. It could be not being able to sleep at night because you wake up and have a whole lot of anxiety. It could be panic attacks. I call those catecholamine surges. catecholamines are those hormones that are being released when you're in a sympathetic state. So, you know, it can be something, you know, something definitely subtle, like an increase in heart rate, which you may or may not notice, or blood pressure, which you may or may not notice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's important. So that was helpful. Thank you for that. So now you've set up a good picture then of what happens under chronic stress. We've got this nervous system that parasympathetic, one arm sympathetic, the other arm normally they collaborate together to help us remain in balance. And mm-hmm. under stress, they kind of disintegrate and become imbalanced. And
right.
in steps biofeedback. So before you describe how biofeedback works, I want you to mm-hmm. try to create a picture so that our listeners can understand what you're talking about. Like, what does the device okay. look like? And
oh, sure.
What's going
right.
on?
Well, you know, Lise, I really think that biofeedback is the quintessential naturopathic tool. And I say that because one of our tenets is to help the body help itself. And, you know, we have our hierarchy of treatment, which includes being as low intervention as possible and working our way up to high intervention. Biofeedback is using electronic tools, you know, something that can sit on your desk, something that can sit in your palm, to monitor what's going on in your body, and then you learn how to control it. So it's a non-invasive way of helping your body help itself. So I think it's the perfect naturopathic tool. So, mm-hmm. so what we're trying to do is we're trying to use very simple electronic devices, and I'll describe a couple different devices that I use, to look at like the temperature in your fingertips, to look at your heart rate in real time, to look at your breathing rate, your respiration rate in real time, and to really look at that. And that's the biofeedback part. You know, it's one thing to be connected to a machine and have all this data go into a computer and you never see it. It's another thing to be using a little machine, you know, a little device, and actually watch what's happening. And so biofeedback is really this idea that you're using a device to monitor what's happening in real time, and then you do breathing exercises, relaxation exercises, all sorts of different exercises to learn how to control that process.
Mm-hmm. So give us an example of using biofeedback. Let's say that the device that somebody has is monitoring their heart rate, mm-hmm. and tell us what that heart rate, you know, this is just stereotypically, but tell us what that heart rate would look like when they're under stress, and then how they could use biofeedback and what would change with the heart
sure.
rate.
So I use a computer program that monitors heart rate, and it's connected to the patient with a little finger sensor. There's also an earlobe sensor, so the patient gets a choice. But again, it's completely non-invasive, and those little sensors just pick up the heart rate. And what a patient will see, so this particular thing is a computer program, so there's going to be, you know, a bunch of stuff on a computer screen. So it's going to pick up the heart rate, and the heart rate is going to appear on a graph with peaks and valleys. And they can be regular peaks and valleys. They can be jagged peaks and valleys. Typically what we're looking for in a relaxed state is for those peaks and valleys to be really smooth and even with a relatively low heart rate. When a patient is experiencing a stressful thought, a stressful event, you know, starts biofeedback therapy, we'll see higher heart rates. We'll see a more jagged kind of line. And ultimately what I'm looking for when I'm analyzing this data is, you know, we want the heart to be always seeking homeostasis. We want the heart to be responsive to the body's needs at any given point in time. But we also want the heart to have some control to it. And what can happen with the biofeedback is you can see what's happening with your heart rate. And I often evaluate patients by specifically putting them through some slightly stressful tests. Like I always put people through a math test, and it's amazing. It's really hard to subtract by sevens sequentially and not have your heart rate go up.
Well, mine would go way up, I can tell you right now.
People's heart rates just skyrocket when I ask them to do math. And so, you know, in an evaluation process, I'll have people specifically do some stressful tasks. Some of them are tasks, and some of them are just thinking about a stressful event. And the heart rate will go up almost invariably, unless someone has, you know, 20 years of meditation training.
And so they're seeing that as well as you. So you're kind of pointing out to them, see, now
exactly.
You just tried to do math and look what happened to your heart rate.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so, you know, patients will see that data. And then what I will teach them is how to relax using breath work exercises and some other mind body exercises to bring the heart rate down, to slow the breathing. And ultimately what they can do is control their heart rate with their breath. And it slows everything down and it smooths out the curves. So looking at heart rate, we've got this really nice visual in a computer program that's going to give us that biofeedback data, you know, looking at the heart rate in real time. The other tools I use are a respiration monitor, which really we're just looking at.
Before we go on to that, I just want to ask you one question. So if somebody comes into your office and they have a biofeedback session with you, they get this feedback that you're helping to interpret so that they understand what causes stress, and then further when they do XYZ, their stress goes down. They don't then need to take that machine home with them because they've had the learning now and they've seen the evidence of that behavior. Correct?
Well, correct. And usually it takes more than one visit. I mean, I will have patients commit to usually about 6 visits, and they have to do a lot of homework. And I can tell if a patient's done their homework or not because their heart rate variability is going to be different. And so I assign a lot of breath work exercises and relaxation exercises like progressive relaxation and autogenics training. And there are a whole bunch of different, I just call them tools for your toolbox. And then, you know, it's one thing for the patient to be able to become relaxed in my office. And then it's another thing for them to attain this out in the real world. And so it's, you know, it's a lot of training also around becoming aware enough that, you know, oh, I'm seeing what my heart rate is doing here. I'm seeing that I'm in a relaxed state. How am I feeling? How am I going to be able to recognize these two different feelings when I'm out in the real world? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's also
body awareness.
It's body awareness kind of stuff too.
So you really, and I think that's an important thing. So people come in, they're through the work in the office, they're making very clear associations, but then they're, it's almost like they're in a sort of an exercise, a fitness program. They're going home with exercises and they're taking it in small steps.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
And that makes it, I'm sure, doable for people who have really no experience in their past with meditation or something like that.
Right. I mean, you can't really tell someone, oh, go join a meditation group, you know, because, you know, we have this very sort of rarefied vision of what meditation is. We think it's a bunch of monks up on a mountaintop sitting for 10 hours and chanting. And meditation is really, you know, in meditation traditions, they say that there's also householder meditation, which is the rest of us are all householders. The rest of us are all just, you know, average run-of-the-mill Joe, you know, Joe Schmo, who's just trying to get through life. And meditation is really about, you know, sitting still and breathing and always trying to get back to center. And that's exactly what we're doing with the biofeedback too. We're trying to get back to center. We're trying to find balance.
That is lovely. And we are going to have to take another break, but you were about to talk about respiratory feedback. So I want to take that up when we come back, because I suspect that's something that may even be less technological. I could be wrong, but you will tell us. So we'll take that back. We'll take that
I
up
will.
When we come back from break.
Okay.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition, Suntheanine, delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Suntheanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
We are constantly being bombarded by toxins in the air we breathe, water we drink, and even the foods we eat. So what's the answer? Glutathione. It's inside every cell in your body and protects you from the damage of oxidative stress and toxins. There is a special patented form of glutathione that is superior, called Cetria. Cetria is pure, vegetarian, and allergen-free. Help replenish your body's reserves of this very important nutrient, detoxified a natural way. Visit CetriaGlutathione.com. That's CetriaGlutathione.com.
A strong immune system is the key to good health, defending you against the various health threats that you are exposed to every day. Empower Immune System Support helps activate your immune defenses, giving your body the protection it needs. Dr. Lise Alschuler believes Empower is especially beneficial during the winter months and for people who don't have a strong immune system. Enhance your immune system today with ultra-fast, ultra-potent Empower. Learn more and save 25% at theharmonycompany.com/thrive.
Exclusively from Natural Factors.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Murray. Getting a good night's sleep is a serious challenge for many people. Fortunately, there's a natural solution that I've developed called Tranquil Sleep. This formula contains the appropriate level of the natural sleep aids melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine. This combination works considerably better than any of the individual components alone. Tranquil Sleep formula can reduce the time required to go to sleep and also reduce nighttime awakenings. But the real benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, I would encourage you to give my Tranquil Sleep formula a try. You might be surprised with how much better you have slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day.
Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. I'm Dr. Lise Alschuler, tonight's host, and tonight I am joined by Dr. Laura James, a colleague naturopathic oncologist and the director of the Red Cedar Wellness Clinic in the Bellevue area of Washington State. And she's been talking to us about biofeedback, and I think has done a wonderful job of helping us to understand how biofeedback works, at least from one perspective, and I think you were just about to introduce us to another variation of biofeedback having to do with breathing.
Sure. Well, breathing, you know, breathing is really fundamental to the whole practice of biofeedback. But there, you know, there are a couple different tools that I use when I'm working with a patient and doing biofeedback training. The heart rate variability tool is one, and that's a computer-based tool. I also use a respiration monitor, which is just a very simple sensor on like a belt that goes around a person's chest. And what I'm looking for with the respiration monitor is just number of breaths per minute. Lots of people walk around basically hyperventilating a lot of the time. They're breathing quickly, they're breathing shallowly, and they're chest breathing. So there's a difference between chest breathing and abdominal breathing. Abdominal breathing really allows your lungs to completely fill up with air. And then release it. When you're breathing just with your chest, you're just filling up a little bit of your lungs with air, and so you're getting just really shallow breaths, and you have to take a lot more of them. So by using a respiration monitor, I'm able to see what is somebody's baseline. You know, is it 23 breaths per minute, which is definitely hyperventilation, or is it more like 10, which is much more normal? And what we're shooting for when we're doing some biofeedback training is relaxation breathing, which is between 4 and 6 breaths per minute, so a much, much lower respiration rate. And so by using the little monitor, we can just, you know, tell how many breaths per minute is that patient taking. And like mm-hmm. I said, breath work really is the fundament of the biofeedback work, because it's very, very hard to get into a parasympathetic state, a relaxation state, without slowing down your breathing. And so,
now,
go ahead.
Can I just ask a question? I mean, 4 to 6, I want to just go back to that number, 4 to 6 breaths per minute. That is mm-hmm. pretty slow. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be interesting for people to try that, but I would imagine it's really not possible to breathe that slowly unless you're truly taking a big, deep belly breath in, right? Because
correct.
You couldn't
correct.
Sustain that low rate at a shallow...
Right, exactly.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, like I said, what we're trying to do with the biofeedback training is to develop parasympathetic tone, as I call it. But one of the things we really have to do is develop diaphragmatic tone. So we really have to work that muscle, our diaphragm muscle, which sits underneath the lungs and contracts when we take a breath in. We really have to work that muscle. And so abdominal breathing is the same kind of breathing that opera singers use, that any kind of trained singer is going to use to get a full note. And there's a lot of control that has to happen there. Now, we can't all be opera singers, but we can still develop good breathing control. And so by doing the breathwork exercises, which, like I said, I send patients home with homework and they have to, you know, do the breathwork exercises every day, a couple of times a day, it starts to develop that tone and it starts to feel more natural. I'm not asking for patients to be breathing 4 to 6 breaths per minute all the time. You know, that doesn't feel good either. but that's the relaxation goal.
And how does this work in the context of stress? Like, let's say somebody has been working with you for a while and they've gotten to a point where they can rely on these tools and they know how to slip into mindful breathing, you know, fairly smoothly. So they're going about their day and they encounter some crazily stressful situation and they're mm-hmm. just stressed to the max.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do? How does this work in that way?
Well, so, I mean, certainly we hope that that's not going to happen before the patient has the tools. But like I said, it's one thing to be able to relax in my office. It's another thing to be able to relax out in the real world. And so what I'll have patients do is progressively start to associate their environment with the sense of relaxation that they're learning how to develop in my office. And so, you know, I use a very simple tool called a Q-dot, which is is basically just a colored sticky that I'll have them put, just a little sticker, in their environment, whether it's their work environment or their car. Or I had one patient who told me she imagined a Q dot on her son's forehead. I had another patient who put a dot on a photograph of her mother-in-law and put it on the fridge. And every time the patient sees the Q dot, they stop and they do a breathwork exercise. And, you know, you want the Q dot in a place you're going to see a couple times a day, not necessarily every 30 seconds, because then you're going to kind of rule it out. But it's to start to associate that sense of relaxation, that stop, wait a minute, check in. Is my heart rate going up? Am I starting to get nervous? Do I feel a panic attack coming on? To sort of stop and do a body check-in, do a breathing exercise, and move forward. And ultimately, with more practice like that, with more times that you're able to kind of switch on the light switch, the easier it becomes. And so ultimately, if we get into a situation where we're feeling very pressured, very stressed, it becomes easier to drop back, take a deep breath, and try and approach the problem in a calmer way. So I'm always shooting for that. Can we get you to the point where you can flick it on like a light switch? And there's a lot of recognition that has to happen there first. So it's a lot of practice.
Yeah, so you're suggesting that people would need to practice in relatively non-stressful environments to get the hang of it,
right,
so that they
can
apply it then to their stressful. So we had a question from one of our listeners who would like you to describe, if you could, a few of the breathwork exercises that you might send somebody home to practice.
Sure. So just some basic ones. So the first thing you need to do is you need to put one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest. And you want to feel your inhale, breathing in, you want to feel your inhale going into that lower hand, into that hand that's resting on your tummy. And just start there. Just start with breathing in and trying to have the air go down and sort of push your tummy out a little bit. And then as you exhale, that hand should just go back down to normal and the air should come out. You can breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. So just evenly start there. And then what we want to do is start counting the breath. So I had a teacher once say to me that our brains are like crazy monkeys. Our brains are all over the place, and they're crazy monkeys hopping from limb to limb. But they're also, those crazy monkeys are like toddlers. If we give toddlers a task, they will calm down and be focused, at least for a couple minutes. And so if you give those crazy monkeys a task, if you give them the task of counting your breath, then things will calm down a little bit. So you can start with that, just practicing the abdominal breathing, and then start doing an inhale of 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then an exhale of 4. Just nice, easy, even breathing. Nice, slow, easy inhale for 4, nice, slow, easy exhale for 4. And practice that. All you're doing is counting your breath and breathing. So that's called a 4x4. And then there are other exercises that layer on top of that. But again, we're trying to settle the mind, we're trying to breathe abdominally, and we're trying to develop this this control of the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm. Great ideas. I love your analogy of the mind being a bunch of crazy monkeys swinging from limb to limb, tail to hand. That's great. That describes my mind for sure many times of the day. So these exercises, as you said at the beginning, you know, you felt that biofeedback was in many ways such a beautiful expression of naturopathic philosophy, because it really is about helping teach the body how to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And when people come in and they learn these techniques and they implement them into their lives, what happens? How does their health change, to your observation?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I mentioned the patient who put the Q dot on the photograph of her mother-in-law. And the reason she did that was because she had a very stressful relationship with her mother-in-law. And she started associating seeing a picture of her mother-in-law with a relaxation exercise. And the biofeedback training we did was probably 6 weeks before she was going to have a visit with her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law was coming to stay for like 3 weeks. And after that visit, she told me it was the best visit she ever had with her mother-in-law, that she was so much less reactive, so much less stressed, because she had associated this relaxation state with looking at her mother-in-law. So that was really pretty powerful for that patient. I have other patients who come in with a history of panic attacks or anxiety or insomnia or high blood pressure. This is a great tool for high blood pressure, who really are able to reverse their symptoms and, you know, be less anxious, have fewer, if any, panic attacks, and lower blood pressure. So I think it can have really powerful physiological effects in the case of blood pressure, which otherwise would need to be managed either herbally or medicinally, or, you know, anxiety, which can be really crippling for people.
Yeah, and boy, it's just your story about the mother-in-laws is a really wonderful one, and I think that, you know, most of us, if we reflect on our life, we probably can come up with repeating stressful triggers, things that we engage in every day that incite some amount of stress, whether it's driving in traffic or, you know, trying to get yourself out of the door in the morning, whatever it is. So, you know, I think by what you're suggesting is to take that activity and to overlay it with this relaxation, and that could really transform your day and ultimately your life. I mean, that's a wonderful suggestion. I love it.
Yeah, it does. It really does transform lives for lots of people.
And does this work with? It's simple, right? So that actually is perfect segue into my next question, which is, this does seem so simple. Can this work well with children?
You know, I think it can work well with children. With children, it needs to be simpler and shorter. I don't see children in my practice. My practice is an adult practice. So I personally don't work with children. I know that there are practitioners that do. And, you know, biofeedback, it's not just used by practitioners who are dealing with the mental emotional stress. It's also used by a lot of physical therapists and trainers and psychologists. You know, all sorts of people use biofeedback for different things. And so I think it has applicability in lots and lots of different places. And it's also, you know, it's a very heavily researched field. So there are lots and lots of papers and lots of support for using biofeedback for different things. For kids, I think it could be really effective. I think, you know, I always think about what kind of legacy am I going to leave my children? And I always come back to what I tell my patients, which is making sure that the four cornerstones of health are really stable: sleep, exercise, diet, and stress management. And if I can leave
that's our 5 to 5 plan.
Exactly. There it is. You know, if I can leave my children with healthy habits on those things, they'll be okay regardless of what else happens in their lives. And I think for whatever children we might be treating, it's kind of the same thing. You know, stress management for them doesn't have to be necessarily biofeedback, but definitely teaching them how to breathe appropriately and tune into that, that's something that kids can really get a handle on. And it can be fun.
Dr. James, this has been fantastic, and yes, it has been fun for me just to listen to you talk about this. And if our listeners would like to find out more about you and your clinic, can you give them a website?
Sure. My clinic is in Bellevue, Washington. It is redcedarwellness.com. That's R-E-D-C-E-D-A-R wellness.com. And I'm Dr. Laura James. So thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, on behalf of Carolyn Gazella and myself, I again want to thank you for joining us tonight and for all of the contributions that you're making to the healthy lives of your patients. And again, I want to thank our sponsors of this show whose support make it possible for us to bring people like Dr. James into our virtual studio to give insights like this to you. Our sponsors are Empower, Ave Ultra, Natural Factors, Cetria Glutathione, Cognizant Citicoline, and Tomorrow's Nutrition. So join us tomorrow night right here on W4CS.com at 8 p.m. Eastern for another Friday research review with Carolyn and I. We're going to be sharing some fun research with you, and I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your evening and you each experience joy, laughter, and love, and it is time to thrive. Good night, everyone.
Good night.